Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
Thanks for sticking with us here on Sirius 129. This is America This Week. I'm Father Patty Gilger here with Kevin Clark and Father Matt Malone. We've been having a conversation with Dean Detloff, our Toronto correspondent, about the tensions in Canadian secularism, especially as they're symbolized or represented in the figure of the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
Dean Detloff is the Toronto correspondent for America Magazine, and he's a member of the Institute for Christian Studies there in Toronto. And he joins us to talk about what's happening there in Canada. And his article, which you can find at americamagazine.org/Sirius, Justin Trudeau's Celebrity Secularism and an Examination of Canadian Conscience. Dean Detloff, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. So for our listeners who may not have read the piece yet, what are you saying and why are you saying it now?
Sure. Well, so I'm trying to articulate something about the complicated kind of web of identities that Canadian Catholics negotiate living here in Canada. I'm originally American myself. So I've lived here about 5 years now. So in some ways, I'm also, I guess, trying to explain to myself what it is that I'm feeling and what my, other folks in the pew with me are feeling as well or expressing. And it's interesting because Justin Trudeau was elected the prime minister, and he himself is a Catholic, as you were just saying, but he's also the leader of the Liberal Party, which is currently the controlling federal government party in Canada. So trying to kind of come to terms with some of the clashes that he has had, both as a political leader and as a Catholic himself, with local Canadian bishops. That's kind of one part of the piece, I guess, trying to look at how these kinds of things come together and also don't come together sometimes, political identities and religious identities. And then on the other hand, also trying to understand that these kinds of conflicts aren't just between the government and the hierarchy, but they're also conflicts that happen in the hearts of everyday average people that are going to church. And those conflicts in those hearts and those consciences happen with both the hierarchy and the government sometimes. So I'm kind of trying to figure out what it's like to be a Catholic in a society that really values pluralism and in a society where even Catholics really value pluralism, but are also trying to figure out what it might mean to be a Catholic in that kind of environment.
Right. So where's the rubber hitting the road here? What are the issues and events that are marking this conflict?
Sure. Well, there are a number of events, and it kind of depends on how you slice up some of the religious secular issues here. But I would say the biggest kind of headline hitting thing happened a few years ago before the Liberal Party actually won and Justin Trudeau became the prime minister. And that was when Trudeau, as the leader of the party, decided that if you were a member of the Liberal Party, and there was a vote that came across Parliament floor that had to do with abortion, you would have to vote pro-choice. And that was a huge issue because many people in the Liberal Party have, of course, conflicted feelings about abortion, even though abortion is legal in Canada. And so this is a huge sort of headline-grabbing problem because Trudeau, like I said earlier, is Catholic, and a number of bishops spoke up about that and wrote some open letters to him. And that kind of kicked off a number of public confrontations between Trudeau and the bishops. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering, when he sort of issued that edict as the leader of the Liberal Party, did he get the reaction? Did people fall into line as he desired? Or did a lot of people protest? Did they leave the party? And if they left, what becomes of an ex-Liberal Party member who has dire pro-life tendencies?
Yeah, well, it's really hard to say, actually. And in fact, the party has been somewhat, I don't know if you would want to say secretive. Probably the better way to put it is they haven't been very vocal about the consequences of that decision. There were a number of profiles of people who did decide to leave the party over that. And what happens to them isn't exactly clear. The only party that has any significance in Canada where they could vote their conscience on the issue would be the Conservative Party of Canada. But there are a number of reasons that people who might be pro-life also may not want to join that kind of party for other policy decisions. So that's kind of a problem for them. I did email the Liberal Party not too long ago when I was writing this article trying to get some more clarity on the policy in particular. for example, if a liberal member of parliament wants to abstain from voting, would they be permitted to do that? So maybe they wouldn't vote, you know, pro-choice, but they would avoid
breaking the party ban there.
Yes, exactly. And anyway, they said that's an internal matter, and they're not sharing that information. So yeah, who knows? It's anybody's guess.
So it's a double secret probation for people who might.
I suppose. Right.
Liberal Party members who might vote pro-life.
A super double secret.
Yes.
Dean, now, so we have a center-right party, the Conservatives. We have a center-left party, the Liberals. I know we also have the NDP. Which is somewhere in there. To which party do most Catholics belong, or are they kind of spread out among them?
Yeah, they're also kind of spread out among them. That's also hard to say. And of course, the issue is different in English Canada than in French Canada in Quebec, which is sort of a whole different ball of wax, I guess. But there are lots and lots of Catholics who have been lifelong Liberal Party members, for example. Pierre Trudeau, Justin Trudeau's father, was probably one of the most famous prime ministers in Canada's history. And he was a Catholic, and very famously so. And of course, like I said, Justin Trudeau is Catholic as well.
And educated by the Jesuits, right?
That's right. Yeah, that is right. So it's hard to say exactly where Catholics line up. They don't have a kind of really strong party allegiance necessarily in the same way that you might get in the U.S. And that's true of many Canadians. There are three major parties here and then a variety of other parties that aren't actually meaningless. And they do win seats here and there. So people don't really identify as closely with a party, say, as you might as a Republican or Democrat in the U.S.
I'm thinking of the recent March for Life, I think in Toronto, that was turned back by police because of a small counter protest. As I understand, this is one of the first times they've tried a March for Life in Toronto. Is that correct?
I'm not sure about the Toronto March. The story that you may be thinking of happened in Ottawa.
Ottawa.
That's not the first time they have done it. In fact, last year, also around the same time of year, they were rerouted as well.
But it's not like the phenomenon here in the United States, the annual March for Life. It's a much lower profile affair, I believe.
Yeah. Now, that's right. And in fact, the numbers this year were significantly lower than last year.
Is it possible that Trudeau's attempt to sort of muzzle Catholic identity within the Liberal Party and perhaps broader Canadian society? It seems to me you guys don't have the battles we have in the United States over secular, sacred, religious, political. It seems like a more altogether polite affair. Is his attempt to sort of stifle that dissent having the opposite effect? Is it provoking a higher, like Catholics are finally waking up and saying, you know what, I'm my identity is Canadian, but it's also Catholic, and I'm not going to subvert one to the other. Do you see any, is that just a crazy idea or?
That's also sort of hard to say, but one kind of interesting way of thinking about it is how the Conservative Party dealt with this issue before the transition of power. So Stephen Harper was the leader, federal leader of the government for a number of years, over a decade, before Justin Trudeau took that place. And before the Conservatives had taken power, abortion was already legal in Canada, and he made it quite clear at the beginning of his tenure that he was not going to touch the issue. It was sort of over and done with, and his government wasn't going to deal with it. They had other things that they wanted to get through, and they viewed that, it seems to me, as a kind of a losing battle. And so the strange thing is that the Liberal Party, for whatever reason, felt that it had to sort of double down on that policy, even though it didn't seem to be getting any political challenges in any real significant way. And it does sort of seem like that's galvanized communities that probably otherwise might have been maybe not happy with the policy, but they wouldn't have felt perhaps directly targeted by it or anything like that. So, yeah.
And the same thing for the recent decision to require people to sign, all I can think of is a loyalty oath to Canadian policies on human rights and social policy that in order to get government money for jobs. That seems like another, self-inflicted wound, a controversy that could have easily been avoided.
Yeah, well, that's a really interesting thing as well. So a little bit of background on that. Canada has this thing called the Summer Jobs Program, and it's meant for students to give them employment opportunities over the summer and also to help out a number of organizations that need that kind of labor. And usually it's a pretty uncontroversial issue. I mean, people apply for the funding, local members of parliament approve that funding, and, you know, nobody thinks twice about it. But this year, the Liberal Party has created what's called a, people call it a statement of attestation. So you have to attest.
That's
to,
what it is,
you
know. Attestation. Okay. Yeah. Not a That's loyalty right. oath. Definitely not a loyalty oath.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So anyway, within that attestation are a number of things that the Canadian bishops specifically flagged as issues for them. One of them was abortion, one was same-sex marriage, and one was gender identity. And they said, you know, this is something that we don't want to attest to, but nevertheless, would they rely on this funding for all sorts of different things. Right. So this policy seems to have been sort of rushed out. There are a few stories that are slowly uncovering, I guess, some of the politics behind the scenes. But what's interesting is there was just a poll that came out yesterday from the Angus Reid Institute that says Canadians are divided 50-50 on whether or not that's fair. But maybe even more interesting, when those same people are faced with a hypothetical scenario where, say, a pro-life organization applies for this funding to do something that isn't specifically abortion-related, say running a soup kitchen or something like that, three-quarters of Canadians actually say that they should be eligible for the funding.
Oh, that,
so it doesn't seem to be very popular anyhow.
Yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's actually encouraging. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. We're talking with Dean Detloff, our correspondent in Toronto, about his article, Justin Trudeau's Celebrity Secularism and an Examination of Canadian Conscience, which you can find at americamagazine.org/Sirius. People might be wondering why a program called America This Week is talking about Canada, and that's because America Magazine does not just mean the United States.
No.
It always means the Western Hemisphere, and we are also published by the Jesuits of Canada. So,
Dean, I had a couple questions that I wanted to run by you to get your feedback on. Maybe the first one is to give a little bit of a context about where some of these problems come from or these interpretations come from in the Canadian context. And you write really well, I think, in your piece about the differences between Pierre Trudeau, Justin's dad, the very famous Prime Minister of Canada, and Justin, the current Prime Minister, and how their Catholicisms are different and how that might be informing their outlook. Could you say something about that and what those differences are and the effects they might have?
Sure. Well, Canada has changed pretty considerably since Pierre Trudeau was Prime Minister and Canadian Catholicism with it. But maybe even more specifically, I think the Quebec connection is especially important here. And I'm not from Quebec, so of course there's a bit of a limitation explaining some of this. But that being said, Pierre Trudeau's sort of time as Prime Minister did have some famous issues that are somewhat similar, some famous kind of clashes with the bishops that he, you know, that were around while he was around. So one of them was famously decriminalizing homosexual relationships, for example, and he famously said the federal government has no business in the bedrooms of Canadians. But the bishops, you know, they respected Pierre Trudeau, I think, as a dissenter, and he himself had been sort of schooled in a progressive Catholic tradition. So some of the kind of big figures that he was familiar with were like Jacques Maritain or Étienne Gilson or Emmanuel Mounier. So these kind of left-leaning, in some cases, socialist Catholics. And so when Pierre Trudeau disagreed with the bishops, he often did so while still coming out of a pretty thickly Catholic formation. And, you know, he disagreed with them as a Catholic and cited Catholic reasons oftentimes for those disagreements. Justin Trudeau is a bit of a different story, and I don't mean to suggest that he is somehow less Catholic or less authentically Catholic.
Sure.
But he doesn't come out of the same kind of educational background. So,
yeah.
He did go to the same school, for example, that his dad went to, but when his dad went there, as you mentioned before the break, he was educated by Jesuits. By the time Justin Trudeau had gone to the same school, it had been secularized along with a number of other Catholic institutions after the 60s in Quebec. So Justin Trudeau's Catholicism is clearly very meaningful to him, very personally important, but he doesn't seem to argue from it, per se, in the same way that his dad would have here or there.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point that you make there, and I think it's relevant because, okay, so I know you're a scholar of secularism in a number of ways, and so what I understand of it is that there are at least two important ways that we ought to understand secularism as a thing, and one way is kind of as a political secularism, like a regulatory mechanism that a state uses to enforce the kinds of participation you can have as religious persons in the public sphere. And then the other kind would be secularism as embodied in a person. And so that brings me back to that point you make about formation there. And then you do a really nice job in the piece of broadening out this consequence, like the lack of Catholic formation on this new generation of Catholics. Do you think that's causal or not to the way people are kind of maybe falling across party lines or not sure how to deal with these secular religious tensions in the Canadian context?
Yeah, well, that's also a bit tricky. One thing that I think I really was interested by as I was writing this article was talking with Archbishop Durocher, who's from Quebec. And he mentions, you know, as the church has tried to deal with a society that can't exactly take the Catholic faith for granted in ways that it may have in the past, he says that's challenging, but it's also encouraging because he says that, especially in a place like Quebec, when you can sort of take Catholicism for granted, sometimes it really actually stilts your faith. And he says that became more clear as Quebec became more secular in terms of policy and politics, because a lot of people sort of just quickly exited the church. And that kind of caused him to wonder, well, how deep was that formation in the first place? And maybe this really gives us a chance to think about how you can't really just take it for granted, but you have to really, really work on it. So, you know, having Catholic formation makes a big difference in how people think and believe. But I think it's also true that many Catholics in Canada kind of take a certain ownership over their own faith and a certain kind of agency with respect to how they navigate the public sphere. And I think that's a really important thing to kind of attend to as well.
When you talk about navigating the public sphere there, Dean, the difference between doing that in the Canadian context and doing that in the American context is interesting to me. So I'm a sociologist myself, and so one of the things that really occurred to me in the course of reading your article was this really interesting book by this woman who's a sociologist at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles. Her name is Nina Eliasoff. You may have read the book well yourself. It's called Avoiding Politics. But the argument that she makes is it's really rooted in the American context, but what she really says is that there are certain techniques that Americans have for avoiding controversial discussions about politics in public. And, you know, we think of the public sphere as the place where you're supposed to debate what is good for the group that you're a part of. How are we supposed to have this discussion about what it means to be an American and what the good things are? And she makes this really interesting claim about how those discussions about what's good for us are actually being privatized. So it's only in spaces of privacy where we feel comfortable having those kinds of conversations, which tends to isolate us even further and do something like this. Now, that's the American context. But when you were writing about the politeness that that is present in the Canadian context, I know I will always tease my Canadian friends about saying I'm sorry every other sentence. And so is there something like this that goes on there in the Canadian context that's similar or different from your reading?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Canada does pride itself on being a polite society, in some ways for the better and in some ways also for the worse, because it can actually cover over real tensions and conflicts that are underneath all of that politeness, for sure. That's something that Dr. O'Hara mentions in the article as well, that Canadians are not only polite, but they can even be very smug about that politeness.
Right.
In the way that, you know, they actually sort of ignore some of the real problems underneath, which isn't very healthy either.
Yeah. Is there a... I mean, here in the U.S., one of the ways that the conflict between the church and public figures in the, you know, like Trudeau, our version of Trudeau, one of the ways that that has played out is in, you know, some folks think that the church ought to be, there ought to be some kind of sanction, you know, for being a public official who so blatantly contradicts the teaching of the church on such an important matter. And so there have been some bishops, for instance, in the U.S. who have said, I would not give communion to a pro-choice politician. And has there been anything like that in the Canadian church?
Well, Justin Trudeau has had a few sort of dust-ups, I guess, with a couple of bishops who have asked him to have a conversation with him, the subtext sort of seeming like maybe, you know, talking about those kinds of consequences, but nothing like that appears to have been, you know, realized or anything. And Justin Trudeau has met with a number of those bishops as well. Exactly what's going through their mind, of course, is just speculation, but I think it's sort of the bishops are trying their best to make a point, and it seems like for now they're also trying to respect Trudeau's conscience as a Catholic.
Yeah, it does seem to me that that's a kind of peculiarly American phenomenon. That's why I wanted to ask you about it. So how is his general standing right now with the Canadian public?
Sorry, can you say that again?
How is his general standing right now with the general Canadian
Trudeau's.
Public?
Oh,
Trudeau's.
Sure. Yeah, so Justin Trudeau, it's interesting that you ask that now because Ontario is going through a provincial race that will be resolved next month, and his party, the Liberal Party, has had that provincial power for quite some time. And they're wildly unpopular here right now. It's interesting to see what will happen with that. And some people have sort of wondered if Trudeau's star power might be able to kind of overcome that. And it seems like it can't. That kind of personality doesn't seem to translate into those kinds of politics. And his popularity has been waning. I mean, that's not too unusual for political leaders, especially in the United States and Canada. But there are a number of issues that people have been upset with, and not necessarily on religious questions, more so based on kind of political promises that he has made and not followed through with, or a certain ethos about his campaign that doesn't seem to have translated. For example, he had a commitment to nation-to-nation dialogue with First Nations people in Canada, and many First Nations people said that is not what's happening. The same goes for issues of ecology and a number of other kind of problems. So, yeah, exactly what will happen at the next federal election is kind of anybody's guess. Both the Conservatives and the
National
Party have new leaders now. So,
when is the next federal election?
It's coming up soon. I can't remember off the top of my head if it's next year or the year after, but I'm pretty sure it's next year. So we'll see anyway.
And the Liberals, of course, had a major victory in the last federal election, and that's part of what has given the Trudeau and his party this great momentum. They were winning in places that they hadn't won in years or had never won before. And so we'll see whether that holds up the next time that Canadian people go to the polls.
Whether Trudeau's celebrity secularism can carry them. Great, great phrase that you coined there, Dan.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Did you coin that phrase?
I did.
That's it. We're getting the T-shirts.
What? No wonder we hired you.
Well, I appreciate that you're helping me pay my bills.
Yeah, you bet. Well, you're helping us pay ours.
True. So, very good.
The article is Justin Trudeau, Celebrity Secularism and an Examination of Canadian Conscience. It's by Dean Detloff, our Toronto correspondent. You can find it at americamagazine.org/serious. Dean, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
So, Justin Trudeau, son of Pierre Trudeau, and you know who Pierre Trudeau dated?
Tell me.
Who didn't he date?
She just died this week.
Oh, Margot.
Margot Kidder.
Margot
Wow.
Kidder.
Who played Lois Lane in Superman.
Oh, see, I was going to have to ask you who Margot Kidder was, but now I don't, so I appreciate that.
Oh, come on.
Wow. You know, Thank you, Patty. Thank you for making me feel slightly older than I felt when I walked in here.
This is one of my expertises.
Justin Trudeau is 1 week older than I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's 39.
Yeah. Well, I think this conversation is a really important one in a number of ways. Like, so, you know, what will this regulation of secularism look like in the future? So are we going to be able to settle with a government that's going to enforce these kinds of behaviors on people who may want to dissent from them? So that's one of the most interesting things I hear from Dean, is that there are certain kinds of behaviors rising up in Catholics in light of this.
Right.
It's like, you know, to what extent is religion really causal there in people? Does it really influence our behaviors itself? And it seems like that kind of mode of impression from the state, or mode of, you know, regulation from the state, is provoking some of this. Interesting.
Yeah. No, it is. And if you tune in next week, we'll answer all of those questions.
Good luck.
Right. So you have been listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. You can learn more about all that we have covered today, including our coverage of what is happening in Gaza, our coverage of what is happening in Canada, our coverage of what is happening in the Texas border, as well as a host of other material at americamagazine.org/serious. You can also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. And to subscribe to America, call 1-800-627-9533. That's 1-800-627-9533 for a smart Catholic take on faith and culture. For Kevin Clark and Patty Gilger, I'm Father Matt Malone. Thank you and good day.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.